Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Wing It Motown Radio. We're doing the live edition tonight. Our producer couldn't be here tonight for us, so we're going to do a little bit of a short, kind of a quick take one episode for you. You got your host here, Kyle. We've got JJ, we've got Lauren, and we've got Mike on this post-game edition of Wing It Motown Radio. How's everybody doing tonight?
Greatest night ever.
Considered. Well, you're a fucking liar.
Not too many complaints.
Yeah, I have. You know what? Yeah, with life, I'm fine. With the Red Wings, I have complaints. But hey, whatever.
Yes.
So I guess we're just going to dive into everything real quick. The Red Wings, as of late, we don't need to spend much time on this because obviously things have been pretty cut and dry with the team. There's been some ups, there's been some downs, there's been some more downs, there's been a little bit of ups. After that, obviously we're talking after they had a 6-3 loss to the Capitals, which was not good by any stretch of the imagination, but it just wasn't good. The team didn't play well, but you know, you saw FNSU get two goals, which is exciting. You saw Zetterberg score that goal that was set up by Mantha, so you kind of saw a little bit of a, you know, the youth movement going there. So, I mean, I guess there's a positive to drive to pull out of that game. You know, I don't think literally, I said in my recap, I don't think anybody expected a win coming into this game. I mean, the Capitals are the hottest team in the NHL right now. So, you know, if anybody expected a win, please speak up. But personally, I came into this game just expecting a complete blowout. And I didn't even expect the Red Wings to score three goals. So, you know, it is what it is, but definitely feel more satisfied than the Columbus game, which, you know, obviously everybody I'm sure already can drop in their heads. What about you guys? How do you feel about the Red Wings as of late and after tonight and everything?
Just a little bit of smoke up Washington's ass tonight. I thought that the Capitals looked like a team that was toying with the Red Wings. They looked frighteningly like another decently Russian-led team from the late 90s tonight. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Losing them doesn't hurt so much. Like, I don't know. They still have to prove it in the playoffs, and that's the hilarious thing for all the Washington bloggers who are like, hey, the Caps are really, really good, and then everybody, like, the one-sentence response is, yeah, wait till the playoffs. So, I don't care about that. Like, I wrote this week that I want the Red Wings to win every game in February to help their position in selling, because I want them to sell regardless now. I also still want them to make the playoffs just because that'd be hilarious to shove in everybody's faces. But, I mean, the bright side of it is the losing is going to make it harder and harder for Ken Holland to say, maybe I should stand pat. So, I guess I'm in a place right now where no matter what happens, I'm going to find a way to be happy about it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, I would personally like them to sell regardless. But, you know, I'd be cool with them standing pat if they won, like, every game from now until the trade deadline. Or, like, you know, they went, like, at least, like, they win, like, 75% of the games or something. I'd be cool with that. Even though that's a ridiculously small sample size, and that's actually not a good model, but whatever. Lauren, what about you? How are you feeling as of late?
Well, mostly, like, I'm just kind of annoyed with the way that the games have just been going, because it's like we're not really doing a lot of stuff that's, like, different than earlier in the year. You know, we're losing games in overtime, we're making, you know, bad defensive mistakes. And so it's kind of like, at this point, I'm just kind of watching the games being like, you know, let's just see what happens tonight. Like, I've really come to accept whatever fate the Red Wings end up with this season. So while it's, you know, each individual mistake and, like, you know, each individual loss is annoying in its own right, but at the same time, like, I'm kind of enjoying watching the games more because it's just like, oh, you know, Athanasiou scored two really cool goals tonight. Like, oh, that was a really cool goal from Zetterberg tonight, or, you know, whatever. Or Mrazek got a 38-save shutout the other night, whatever night that was. So, you know, it's just, like, there's fun stuff to be found in every game, and so that's basically where I'm at this point in the season.
Yeah, you certainly try and find bright spots wherever you can when things are just kind of, you know, not going well, and it's kind of inevitable to what's going to happen, and, you know, it kind of seems at this point that the Red Wings could claw their way into a playoff spot, but it's very bleak as of right now. Mike, how about you?
I'm kind of in the same boat that Lauren's in with finding the little stuff to enjoy. It kind of feels like the past couple of years with, like, you know, the playoff chase at the end and all the nail biting and everything. It's kind of been, you know, once we get into February and March and late April, I know the phrase is you miss the forest for the trees, but it's kind of been the other way around. You miss the trees, the little things, for the forest, the overall picture. And right now it's just being in the cellar. There is no pressure to be like, oh my God, I don't care what happens. We just have to win this game. We need the points. It's nice to be freed of that and just like, oh, that was a really nice play. Or, you know, conversely, just downing your beer when, you know, somebody shits bed. But either way, it's been freeing, and it's enjoyable to get back to watching the players instead of just worrying about the outcome.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what JJ was saying, that you're just having fun watching the game, and what Lauren was saying, obviously, everybody. And I think that's the consensus among the winging Motown Bayes, is that, you know, they're meeting expectations, which aren't very high. I guess there's no really change to make a playoff run possible. There's not much they can do. Erickson went down with an injury tonight, so obviously you'll probably see Ouellette on Saturday against Columbus, which could make the team better, obviously. I thought Spool looked good. He also looked bad tonight at times. You know, I guess we'll see what happens going forward. But what I really have felt kind of weird among media is that everything is out down to the next two games or the next games. Like, they need to win. The next two games will show us what they're going to do. And that narrative was drawn up before tonight. So, you know, I think that, you know, after tonight, it should be pretty clear what's going to happen. But and that's going to take us right into our next topic here, and that's the trade deadline, and which is quickly approaching, which will be March 1st. Ken Holland has already said pretty much that he's not going to buy. So it's either you're selling stuff or you're standing pat. And obviously at this point of the season, the way that things played out, selling is probably your best bet. Whether, you know, and they're not going full fire sale. They're selling off players who have expiring contracts within the next year or two. I mean, you know, there's been some debate to where they go and bold and sell a guy like Thomas Tatar, Gustav Nyquist, all of which I'm open to. You know, it just has to be a really, it has to be a favorable return for the Red Wings. Thomas Vanek is probably number one on the list. I don't think Brendan Smith has I honestly don't think any team's going to take Brendan Smith at this point. I think that's just a hill that the Red Wings are going to – the Red Wings are going to have to die on that hill. You know, Jimmy Howard, he's hurt again. So, nope, no good. Mrazek, I don't think the Red Wings should trade him. And I don't think they should leave him unexposed or exposed in the draft later this summer, which we'll cover in a different – episodes. But, you know, there's a lot of talk to be had there, but I think that Vanek is the top name, followed by guys like, you know, Tatar and Nyquist. Those are probably going to be your top names, because I don't think Brendan Smith has any value. And I don't think the team's going to try and trade Mont Green, to be honest with you. So, you know, that's the topic du jour basically every week right now. It's just like, you know, talking about the trade deadline and what we're going to get. And personally, I think Thomas Vanek's only going to get you like a second round pick or something like that, because he hasn't something lately. He did have a really good night against the Capitals, but yeah, it is what it is. So,
yeah.
Let's mix up the order here. Lauren, I know Lauren isn't really a big trade topic person. Like, she really doesn't really weigh in on that stuff more, but I'm still going to ask, do you have any, like, you know, opinion on the trade deadline coming up or anything like that?
Only that I'll be curled in the fetal position under my blankets the entire day. I hate the trade deadline so much.
Quick and easy.
I hate it so much.
I think we all do hate it to a certain extent. And that's always been that, oh God, what's going to happen? kind of like free agency. It's the same thing. You know, it's like, oh God, what's going to happen?
Actually,
JJ,
I wonder if I work that night this year.
Yeah. Oh no, I'll be wide. I'm not working at all. It's going to be scary. So,
I'm going to wake up to all the news.
Oh, good for you. JJ, you're up next.
I don't know. This is going to be an interesting trade deadline. Like, for the millionth year in a row, I have regrettably failed to get the damn day off work. So, I'll just be sitting at my computer, like, watching intently about, like, watching the Red Wings be a seller is going to be weird to me. And I don't know, there's still a decent chance that it's just a Stan Pat coming. Decent chance that Vanek gets moved before the deadline, and literally what we get is the weird fire sale. Like, I want to disagree about the concept that you don't think Brendan Smith is going to get moved, but I don't know who is trading for that skill set, like the offensive defenseman who doesn't create offense. So it'll be interesting to see how committed to the rebuild sell-off happens, because if they're real committed, then Tatar is getting moved, and if they're really, really committed, then Nyquist is also getting moved, because like, Calgary is talking about buying a young, cost-controlled forward, that those two are getting a lot of attention in that. Chicago has asked about them. Friedman, in his 30 thoughts this week, pointed that Chicago should have interest in Vanek, too, although they don't. He also said they don't want to lose their first rounder because they're hosting the draft this year. But I don't know. I think if Ken Holland doesn't get a first for Vanek, I'm going to be mad.
He's not going to.
Or maybe, yeah, and I'm just planning on being mad. It'll happen. So, I don't know. Maybe get a 2 seconds then. I don't know. Just collect the picks and sell the guys off. See what you can do about the goaltending. Like, I'm really interested in the trade deadline more than I have been in the last few years, where it's mostly been like, please, Kenny, don't recreate the David Legwand trade. Even though I think I'm less mad about that in hindsight than a lot of Red Wings fans, still, it wasn't a good trade. Like, like Mike said earlier, like I just feel free from so much worry about that. I'm more interested than worried.
Yeah, it's been it's kind of a weird culture change for Red Wings fans mostly, you know, because you don't know what you're going to get with the Red Wings being possible sellers. But the way I look at Vanek is that he has said that he wants to stay here. The team obviously wants him to stay. And that's great, because I really do like and I honestly wouldn't mind bringing him back. But I kind of like to sell him and then bring him back, you know, like kind of like do a, hey, we're going to trade you, but during the free agency, you know, we'll, you know, give you a little something and you come back to us. I'd be cool with that.
Exactly.
Like,
that
would be cash in, because I really do think Vanek's a good player, especially on this team. If they could sell him for a second round pick and maybe something, maybe like a prospect, or maybe if they could get a first round pick from a late, like a team that would give you a late pick, that'd be great. You know, I'd be and he come ends up coming back here, even if he doesn't, that'd be great. But you know, it is what it is. Vanek is obviously the cash crop because he's the rental player. I mean, if you look at what Andrew Lott got last year, I mean, Vanek has had a better year than Andrew Lott has. Like seriously, Andrew Lott sucks. So whatever. I think that the Red Wings should try and shoot high and then, you know, come down if they have to. They shouldn't shoot low with Thomas Vanek. I think he's a good, useful player. I think he's more useful than Radim Vrbata. And that's that. You know, screw the Coyotes. No one should be trying to help them right now with draft picks, at least. So that is what it is. Does anybody else
I think what's
going to
hurt Vanek's trade potential is that Aginla wants to be moved, because I think that Aginla and Vanek are going to be looked at decently similarly, and I think that Aginla probably has, even though Vanek has way more points and is doing way better, Aginla has like the old gritty leader kind of thing, and Vanek has the guy who had to be healthy scratched in Minnesota kind of thing. So I'm real interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and you know what? You're completely right with that. Jerome Aginla has the experience and all that good stuff. But I'm almost certain. I'm not quite sure what Aginla gets paid. I know that it's more than Vanek. So that might work out in the Red Wings' favor, at least.
See, what, Aginla gets Vanek, 5 1/3.
Yeah, so Vanek is way underpaid for what he's doing in that regard. So, you know,
Vanek got one of
whoever, you know, and I mean, the Avalanche, they're probably willing to soak up some of that salary. Whereas for me, for the Red Wings, I don't want to. I want to say, take it or leave it. Here's what you're getting. You're paying, what, 2.5 AAV on your cap. So that's that. It's not expensive for what he's doing. So fuck Jerome Aginla, 39 years old. You know what? You're not going to win a cup. You're just going to ride off in the sunset without a ring, and that's cool, dude. Get it. But
I hope he gets traded to Calgary.
Back to Calgary?
That'd be perfect. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Calgary
playoffs
sucks way too much. Yeah, it'll never happen.
Yeah. Do we think Mike Green goes anywhere? Because, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think his trade value is probably going to be higher next year when he's a rental as opposed to somebody who's going to have to saddle up with his salary for all of next season.
Yeah, Mike Green will go somewhere, but he will go probably in the expansion draft.
Yeah,
I think that makes more sense.
Plus, I see if you want any real value for Mike Green, that is going to involve having to retain salary on that deal. So I just don't see like what I don't. I'm not sure that they can get enough value that would to make up for what they'd have to hold back in that deal. And also, like, I don't necessarily mind Mike Green coming back next year
and
playing the
whole
year.
Yeah, like, I like Mike Green. I think he's a good stop. Because the Red Wings really do need a crop of stopgap players right now. Because, you know, obviously, whether they can bridge the gap of a rebuild or they need to go to a rebuild, they need to find players to do that. And guys like Vanek and Green are the perfect pieces to do that. So I think that if Green was like, hey, I'll take another 2 years at, you know, like $6 million or something like that, or, you know, like a, you know, whatever. I don't know. But, like, if you were to take like a six-year deal, or I'm not six-year, I'm sorry, a two-year deal, like, after this contract, I'd give it to him easily, no problem. Because I like him, and I think he's a good dude, and he's a good player. Obviously, the best defenseman we have, so obviously you got to give it to him. But at the end of this contract, he might want like a 4 to 6 year deal. And at that point, you know, obviously I wouldn't want to give that to him, but you know, who knows? Does anybody else have any other thoughts on the trade deadline? No, obviously
no.
not.
Nope.
Yeah, because who wants to talk about trading?
We won't be trading Jonathan Erickson.
Nope.
Because
he's
his
be hurt.
Wrist was broken tonight.
Yep, he is hurt. So enjoy that.
We won't be trading Erickson anyway.
True.
Yeah, they
he's got a new trade clause.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to look around the league, and there's really not much to look at right now, aside from the fact that the Bruins have fired their coach. And not just any coach, they're firing Claude Julien, who is a good goddamn coach. So I don't know. How do you guys feel about this? Obviously, the first take there is that, haha, Bruins, screw you. But I guess, do you guys think that maybe Claude Julien could ever end up with the Red Wings?
No.
JJ, what
no.
do you think? No?
Absolutely
okay.
not. Nope.
Absolutely not.
It's never going to happen.
I'll be the voice of dissent. I'll say yes.
Okay. Mike says yes. JJ, what were you going to say?
looking at all the different Claude Julien has already been offered at least a couple of jobs by now.
Yeah.
There are already
sure.
going to be teams yeah. that are in better shape than the Red Wings. Like, Detroit needs a rebuild, and a rebuild is not what you put Claude Julien in charge of. I know a lot of people aren't really sold on him. I think that he would do a better job of structuring the Red Wings, and that structure is more of what they need. But honestly, I don't think we're a good fit for him. Like, I don't know why Claude Julien would want to come here. So I just don't see it happening.
I don't know.
JJ, I agree to you. I agree with you in the fact that he's not going to go to a team who's on the brink of a rebuild. He's going to go to a team that is going to be ready-made or maybe just on the brink of – like, it really does make sense that he'd go to a team like Vegas. Because Vegas is, you know, who knows what they end up being like, but, you know – obviously, Vegas is going to toss a bunch of money at him, but, you know, that's a team that will be set up decently well. Who knows what it's going to end up being like. But a lot of people brought up the thought of Florida, but then a lot of Florida fans countered with the fact that Florida doesn't want to pay money for a big-name coach. And then, you know, people are asking about, St. Louis, which it seems like Mike Yeo is the guy there, which is a huge mistake, I think. So, I don't know.
Man, St. Louis would be a good team for him, too.
It would be a perfect team for him. I think that they're up and coming. They're probably going to lose Shattenkirk, but, you know, whatever. You put Parayko where Shattenkirk is, and you guess you'd be all right. But if I was Julien, I would... Honestly, I'd take some time off. I would just stand pat. And if Vegas doesn't turn out to – like, I would wait until Vegas's roster starts to come together, and then I would see what – you know, because after the day after the trade deadline is when Vegas can start making moves with their roster. So I would wait and see what happens with Vegas, and then I'd consider it. If I was Julien, I would wait. And if things don't pan out, then fuck it. I'd just take a day. I'd take a half a year to a year off, or maybe take a consulting job or something like that. But that's just me. So, but no, I don't.
Yeah, I can see Claude Julien jumping in like November, December on a team that's really good, but gets off to a bad start and cans their coach early. I thought that I think that Vegas looks really attractive for Julien, too, because I think it would give him more freedom and a little more control from the ground up, because everything that's come out since his firing has been a lot of talk about how the Bruins management and ownership never appreciated Julien in the first place anyway. And he was kind of really chat up on. So... like going to a place like Vegas where it would be a good opportunity to really build a team from scratch and not get that same kind of evil from Jeremy Jacobs coming out, might be a really good fit for him. And I also think that would be the same case in St. Louis. John Davidson seems like a really good guy who would really appreciate Julian. I think the Blues are built pretty similarly to the way that Julian wanted the Bruins. Just what happened in Boston was that management traded away all of the good stuff, and Julian couldn't continue squeezing blood out of a turnip. It was bullshit what happened, but I'm glad because fuck the Bruins.
Yeah, and you know what? The Bruins did have a nice little nook of the young talent, but you know they had David Pastrnak, who I think flourished with Julian. I think Marchand was a product of Julian. And then you had Brandon Carlo, who is, you know, defensemen are hard to emerge. But Brandon Carlo looks to be a bright young star. And then they have some other names that will probably likely end up being good. But, you know, they definitely pulled the string on that way too early. And it's not a shame because screw the Bruins, who really cares. Does anybody else have any other thoughts on that at all?
Just a little poke, and then we can move on. But nobody thought that Mike Babcock was going to go to a rebuilding team. They thought he would go right to another contender.
You know what? That's different though, because the Maple Leafs, they were tied together before the Red Wings, before he even left. So,
but everyone knew that the Leafs were a long way from even having a shot at the playoffs, let alone a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but
everybody also knew that the Leafs had committed to doing that, and the Red Wings have not.
Yeah, so it's a completely different. I think it's a different situation, if you ask me. But you know, I mean. Who knows? Maybe he wants to go, and he's like, hey, you know what? I want to go to a team that's on the brink of blowing everything up and being shitty for a few years. That's going to be great if they pay me really well, and they have a really nice arena, and they give me a really nice house and all that stuff, whatever. Yeah, anything is possible.
I appreciate that he looks like Bill from King of the Hill.
He does. He is the same thing. Lauren, do you have anything to add with that whole situation at all?
Not really.
Fair enough. Make it easy. All right. Looking around the league, there's really not much else to really add. The Capitals are atop the league. Who really cares about everything else? I mean, a lot of people have probably asked about who's along the bottom of the league with. Because, I mean, you know, the Red Wings are basically battling in the basement of the Eastern Conference with the Lightning and who's the other team?
Buffalo?
Is it Buffalo?
In the Atlantic?
I think it's Buffalo. Yeah. Well, no, in the
yes.
Eastern Conference. But anyways, the Red Wings are a bottom team in the league right now. You know, it doesn't really matter at this point. A lot of models have the Red Wings going in the top five for draft picks. So, you know, just go ahead and bank on that. But I still don't think they're going to get Nolan Patrick, and I don't think they're going to get Nico Hischier. But there is a good chance that they get Timothy Liljegren. So, you know, you can bank on that, I guess. But, yeah, Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick, the unanimous two picks that are going to be going in the top two. You know, I don't think the Red Wings are going to fall on that because you always have to remember Vegas will have the same odds as the team that is number three in the draft lottery. So you're adding another variable to the draft lottery. So that's a really good segue into Positivity Corner. This is where we're going to draw our positive thoughts. I want Lauren to go first with her positive thoughts.
Okay. I kind of mentioned them earlier when we were talking about, you know, our feelings about the team. Basically, right now, it's just, you know, seeing the emergence of guys like Athanasiou and guys like Mantha. It's just really great to see them continue to excel even when the team itself, like, as a whole, is not doing well. Like, they are showing the impact that they can have on games, and it's really, really exciting. Mrazek's getting kind of back into his groove. I mean, obviously tonight wasn't great, but he had that great shutout the other night, and it's like, all right, he's starting to look, you know, more like himself, that kind of thing. So, and also, like I said earlier, you know, it's just, like, I'm finding more enjoyment in the team in general because I'm not, you know, on tenterhooks wondering if this team is going to be able to make the playoffs again.
Right.
So just in general, it's, like, it's just more enjoyable. And then I know this was on the broadcast the other night, but there was the announcement that Ouellette is engaged and his fiancée is pregnant, and I just thought that was really cute. So
yeah, they're having
yay,
a baby.
More Red Wings babies. I was like, oh
yeah,
my little Red Wings babies are having babies. It's so cute.
I honestly didn't even know Ouellette had a girlfriend. So that was really cool to see.
She follows me on
Mike,
Twitter.
Oh wow. Oh, okay. Mike, how about
it's
you?
It's interesting sometimes.
With the Wings, it's kind of. So many more avenues of discussion have been opened because of this. I mean, like, when the team is good, you know, let's take things back a decade. It's like there's one glaring hole, and we all know that's the glaring hole, and that's kind of the dead horse that you have to beat anytime you're talking about the Wings. But, I mean, it sucks that there are so many new holes, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun discussing all of the different ways that we feel that the Wings could be made better and the ways that they could improve. So, you know, shut one door, open another, but it's a whole new aspect to Red Wings life that I'm finding enjoyment in. Not that it's necessarily overly enjoyable, but I'm finding enjoyment in it. So,
all right.
And then personal life, I have the meal tasting for my wedding this weekend, so fun.
All right.
Meal tasting this week, and then bachelor party is next weekend, so, yeah.
Party on. Have some fun there. Congratulations,
oh, yeah.
Of course. JJ, how about you?
I hope that the meal is good, Mike. I am enjoying this season. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's like there has been. It's just like you said earlier. It's been freeing to just be able to kind of watch without expectations. I'd like to say that it's really good to finally see some official Red Wings branded Hockey Is For Everyone merchandise as well.
Yeah.
That's been a long time coming, and I'm really happy that they're at least on board with that message, because I think that's a really good, strong, positive message that is for everyone.
Yeah, and to kind of branch off into that, into my positivity corner, is seeing Sima Alali get to drop the puck tonight at the game in Washington and all that stuff. That was really cool. It's even cooler because there are a lot of people like, who the hell is that? And just like, dude, pay attention. Like, you know, she had a video where she was puck handling, and she plays for one of the women's hockey, teams that were in the least. So, you know, it's just cool to see stuff like that kind of happen and all that. So that's part of my positivity corner in a world that is just full of shit right now. Another positivity corner topic for me, and that goes along with Lauren, is to see guys like Athanasiou and Mantha play well. And I feel like I say that every episode, but I guess that's all we really have right now. I honestly am waiting to see the next one. Because I think Nosek is really due to come up and play, or a guy like, I want to say Svechnikov isn't really ready yet, but he's playing really well. I'm genuinely pleased with how things are going down in Grand Rapids right now, because they are playing really well. So that's a positive, I guess. So, yeah, whatever. Anyways, enough with this positivity bullshit. Let's move on to the real stuff. The reader questions, as always, JJ will take care of those for us. JJ, you want to go ahead and take that away for us?
Yeah. Hey, you want to take a break? Too bad, because we're live. Starting off, we got a Hans Landa saying, did everybody read Mike Morris Santa Rosa defenseman rankings today, that fan post that we put on the front page?
I haven't looked at our page
anybody?
Since, like, 3 hours ago.
We only write for women. We don't read it. At any rate, he posted a... Mike Morris, Santa Rosa posted a look at the way the Red Wings defense are doing. And basically, it just numerically fits the eye test very well. I'll say that I haven't had time to, like, really wrap my head entirely around it. What I'm worried about with those rankings is that it's kind of... Like, it matches the eye test a little too well, because there are some... There's some math in there that kind of assumes, like, defensemen control the quality of shots against, which there's been a lot of writing about how that's not true, or that's not demonstrable. So I like it because it fits what I know. I just don't know what I don't know about it, I guess. The second part of that was, did anybody read the New York Times article on the NHL's problem with science?
I did. I read SB Nation's branch of it.
I'll give you the quick rundown, and then you can.
Yeah.
Essentially, the post was that the NHL is essentially using science against itself. The concept of you have to prove it. You always have to prove it. What if you haven't considered this angle? And what the NHL is doing is burying their heads in the sand and doing very lawyerly bullshit to say, oh, well, they haven't actually proven the link between subconcussive hits or NHL hockey and CTE, so I'm not sure that we can say that we're responsible for anything, because there's just so much we still don't know. And it's horseshit. Like, the article points out, like, they've apparently been sleeping for the last 10 years, because there's more than enough evidence to say, listen, guys, there's something up here, but they're being really shittily lawyerly about it, so... That's what the post is about. So go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, and then, like I was saying, it's really kind of a dirty. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. It seemed kind of like it came. And you know what's funny is that it all kind of came out of nowhere for me, kind of blindsided me, and I was like, because Gary Bettman's comments towards concussion and CTE before were completely reprehensible. They were just ugly, not something you want to see if you care about player health. So seeing this right now, it kind of rubs you the wrong way, and it just kind of comes at a bad time. And JJ, you really did. You described it perfectly there. It doesn't seem right, and they're kind of dressing it up to be something that is kind of trying to cover their own ass, but at the same time, it's just so obvious to someone on the outside looking in. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah, and I know Lauren has spoken at length about the concept of how stupid they're being in terms of protecting players, so it feeds real into that.
Yeah, it's for me as a very sciencey person, like, I have a biology degree, I'm going back for my nursing degree right now, like, I spend a lot of time working with people who benefit from medical research, you know, these things that we, you know, we take for granted, it was all, you know, that all had to be proven and all that kind of stuff. And the, I don't know, the thing that really just bothers me is it's a symptom of a larger societal thing about, like, there's just a lot of science that people are like, oh, well, you can't, like, definitively prove it, therefore I'm just going to not believe it because you can't say for sure either way. And it's like, well, you're never going to have that last piece of evidence that says for sure, you know, about concussions and CTE and hockey, or, you know, take your pick of any other scientific thing. So it just endlessly aggravates me that people are going to continue to be hurt and continue to suffer when, you know, they're just going to, yeah, be weaselly lawyers about this kind of shit and, like, just, oh, well, you can't prove it, so, you know, it can't be our fault. Like, no, you're being assholes. You need to take a step back, pull your heads out of your ass, and follow the NFL's example, which is weird to say because that seems bass-ackward. But, you know, it's, and there was something else recently, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something about how the NHL, like, their team of lawyers or whatever, said something like the players in the lawsuit, you know, the former players were being used as a tool because they couldn't have, like, they had, like, brain damage or something that wouldn't give them the ability to, like, file that kind of claim on their own. I don't know. It was some,
yeah, they're too dumb to be arguing
bullshit.
This smart.
Yeah, basically that. And I was like, oh my God, like, how can, that's so, there's so many things wrong with that on so many levels, in, you know, ethically, morally, legally, you know, there's, it is just it's such a sore topic for me because my life is about science and it's about healing people and, you know, helping people to recover from, you know, mm-hmm. what, however many things. And it just pisses me off that they have no, you know, regard for the people that earn them the money that they do.
Yeah.
It almost,
you know,
feels,
yeah,
like they've
got, it's
like,
really shitty to use a, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was going to say, it almost feels like they've got the lawyers from Big Tobacco in there. Like back in
that's
that fight,
actually,
you know,
a big, that's a big part of that New York Times article, is like, that's the playbook, was that the Big Tobacco, the science started coming out in the 50s linking smoking to lung cancer, and Big Tobacco spent the next, 50, 60 years challenging the science, saying, no, you haven't proven it, no, you haven't proven it, or no, this science is bad, or no, this person is bad, and it's just, they just beat it up. It's like an asshole standing in the middle of train tracks going, well, I haven't been hit by a train yet, so fuck you, science. I mean, it's going to happen. Just,
yeah,
be sensible.
It's the premise. Yeah, it's the premise that Lauren was talking about, of you're never going to have proof in science, which, I mean, it's true, but there are such things as strong correlations, and anybody who knows statistics, and I'm going to do my best to fill in for Prashant here and probably fail miserably, but statistics can be a really powerful modifier for all this science, and people bring up like Z tables for determining whether something is a strong correlative existence between two things. And you can get to that point with a lot of this stuff, and I think that's what they eventually, tobacco, is they got enough of these cases together where they could build the correlative evidence. And, you know, right now, the NHL, I think, might be doing their best imitation of Prashant's, you know what you can do with your small sample size. But they're going to get there eventually. I think it's something like 1,000 samples to start making a data set relevant, and I'm sure they're getting real close to that by now if they're not already there.
And the worst part is that it's that's 1,000 lives, you know, permanently affected by that kind of stuff, and, you know, all the people connected to those 1,000 lives.
Yeah,
that they're just,
and,
they have no regard for.
There's we could probably do a whole show about this. There's a lot to there are many layers with CTE among multiple sports, and the NHL is one where it's starting to become more, people are starting to become more educated on it. If you look towards the NFL, more players have become more active and more vocal about it. But anyways, not to brush this off, but, you know, we're going to move to the next question now. We'll probably cover this in the future. JJ, what do we got out? What else do we got?
Oh, we've got a long question from WJR. I'm going to try to paraphrase here. He's our favorite long-winded commenter. The first part of the question is essentially, is there a link between selling assets and tanking? And the obvious answer is, somebody want to say yes for me?
Yes.
No? The answer is yes. Thank you, Lauren. Is it time to for Holland to consider moving both Cronwall and Franzen to a team with some serious cap space to free up contractual obligations, cap space, roster space, to allow the Wings to progress forward in the rebuilding process?
We're not talking about the Datsyuk contract, people. Franzen's contract is pretty much immovable at this point. You'd really have to sell a team on that. And why would you? I mean, he's long-term into reserve. Who cares? I don't understand the people who get so bent out of shape about that contract at this point. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, Franzen isn't hurting the roster space. He is creating cap inflexibility, but for a rebuild process, that's not a big deal. I'm starting to warm up to the concept of potentially moving them, but I don't think it matters that much.
No, I don't think it matters that much either, JJ.
With the Cronwell thing, he's not even at a point where he could go to LTIR. Like, he'd have to prove an injury. He does not have a permanent...
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like, he can't be put on LTIR right now because he's not hurt to the point where he's never going to play again like Franzen. So that doesn't make sense to move that question. Yeah, that's circumvention at its finest. You know, that's Helene St. James that's what she would suggest doing, and that's still illegal according to the CBA.
Yeah.
I mean, with both of these guys, their contracts are up in... what, 3-4 years, something like that, 5 years. You just don't sign them at the end of it, and you've got all that cap space freed up for the increases that are going to be inevitably coming to guys like Larkin, Mantha, and Athanasiou. But in the meantime, when you're selling assets and you're acquiring these new draft picks on cheap contracts, there is no incentive to move those until you absolutely have to move those. And with the way the timelines are, you should not ever be forced into moving those.
Yeah, while you're a rebuilding team, your cap space is a benefit to you. You might as well waste it. Although I can see them moving, like, as they try to come out of the rebuild, maybe move them at the very end. We'll see, though. As you use that and you use their... I mean, and Cronwall's presence still, it's good. I don't think that you need to move them to make up for it. You're going to have the kids on cheaper ELCs and bridge deals, which actually is the third part of WJR's question. You know, is it a good idea to continue using that? And it's like, yes, it's if you're rebuilding, waste as much cap space as you want. It doesn't matter. When you want to come out of the rebuild and be good again and start signing, like, big-name free agents again, then you need it, and you worry about it then.
Mm-hmm.
Moving next is KWW3. Hey, y'all, long-time listener, first-time commenter. Thanks for all you do for us fans while we dredge through the bland brand of hockey that has become our Wings. You're welcome. His question ties around to, did anybody look through the Corey Pronman's midseason prospect rankings? Kyle, were you able to get a hold of that and take a look?
Yeah, The Red Wings didn't have anybody in the top 50. They had two in the honorable mentions. It was Billy Sarajärvi and Yevgeny Svechnikov. Svechnikov is starting to gain a little traction in the AHL. Sarajärvi is doing really well with Mississauga. but we'll see what he does after the season when he joins the Griffins, because after the season, Serge Harvey will be a Griffin. And then obviously you're probably going to see you'll see Svechnikov probably have another season with Svechnikov is basically going to get the Nyquist treatment. So part of the course, basically. So no, the Red Wings don't have any top prospects at this point.
DTD Tank asked like a three-part question, like what would you rather do? I think that we've already agreed that a rebuild is necessary. I think I'm going to taking this down to its essence. In terms of the rebuild, would you take a chance on like high-risk, high-reward, younger prospects, like already drafted guys like Montour or Lazar, hoping that they can make a big impact and turn what is potentially a team that's got a semi-decent core, or do you try to just go for the long-term three or four-year rebuild, the kind of safer rebuild? Mike, I'm going to let you lead on this one.
I think I go with the Tank draft and develop, just because I don't know a whole ton of the prospects around, but I have looked at Montour quite a bit over the past two seasons, just seeing what he did in Anaheim's system. And to get a player like that, you're going to spend significant assets. I mean, to make a trade for Montour, they would probably want some kind of a promising D-man back and one pick, maybe two, just because of what the guy did in the AHL last year and what he did this year. It wasn't as impressive as his numbers this year, and I know the season's still going on, but the guy still looks good. And I think he's on a call-up right now. He's got like 2 points in six games or seven games, something like that, in some of his first NHL action. So, I mean, you're going to spend more getting a player like that than you would get just rolling the dice with whatever you spent to get him. So I think you bite the bullet. Yeah, you bite the bullet. You take what you've got. You sell off some assets. You get some more picks, and you use your own picks. You don't go spending more than you need to on guys that are all hype and promise with little proof.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And I think I'm right there.
I would definitely go for the safer option, go for the Tank draft and develop. Going for already drafted players, you know, if they're going to be any good, like the teams that have them are not going to want to give them up. So if you're talking about Lazar, who I think has been sent back down to the AHL this year, I think, you know, they're kind of like they have promise, but it is very much a high risk, high reward. So that, you know, you're spending something to get something that you hope is going to help you in the long run. And if you don't, that sets you back if that's like the main model that you're going with. If you are going to truly commit to the Tank, you're going to be trying to get really good picks. You know, you're going to be acquiring hopefully more first round picks or like more second round picks, that kind of thing. Like you're going to be trying to get a lot of younger players. You know, they aren't, like I like that idea better than trying to, the other option is basically just sounds like another attempt at a reload. And I really think that it's a bite the bullet situation. Take a longer route to get to where we need to be.
And I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm going to make it.
It might be more painful. It might take a little bit longer, but, and it really depends on who you have at helm. With Ken Holland, I don't know what I trust him with at this point, but, and I'm not going to dive into that because it could take a while, but I am more on board with the, you know, the Tank and rebuild kind of way of things. I'd rather not just do the reload kind of spiel right now.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 4-for-4. I think that we've taken too many losses on medium and high risk signings that haven't panned out. I'm just kind of tired of it. I'm kind of enjoying the concept of watching the kids grow, which we'd see more of in a longer, safer rebuild. So it would hurt more to suck longer, but I don't know. I guess we'll just see where this one goes. Next question, Will Christ with a this one's really interesting. What do you try to remember in order to avoid getting too pessimistic about the Red Wings? He specifically says, for me, they'll never be as poorly run as the Knicks, and even if they come close, the Knicks will find a way to get even worse, and then they definitely won't alienate a fan favorite, leading to an altercation at a Wednesday night game during a lost season that results in that former player being arrested for assault and criminal trespassing, angering the entire fan base. And okay, I'm going to go drink heavily now. Good question, Will.
Yeah, that's good.
So, at any rate, the question is, how do you keep positive in this shit season, Kyle?
For me, it's just basically watching people, like players who I thought weren't going. Because honestly, I didn't think Nick Jensen was going to be an NHL player. I thought he was just going to kind of be the guy. Like, you put him on waivers, he just goes back to the AHL. And I've been impressed with Nick Jensen. It's stuff like that. Jared Kuro. He's not been shut down, but you know, I've enjoyed him watching when he plays well. It's just stuff like that. And then, you know, obviously knowing that Jeff Laschel is basically the next Dave Lewis, whatever, but that's just my opinion. You know, it's just watching the young players who you didn't think were going to be something, and watching the NHL players who you thought were going to be something turn into something, like Mantha and Athanasiou, especially Mantha, because Mantha's been like the story this year. Like, you know, the guy who just like was doubted by the organization and just comes up and he goes on this tear of goals, and now he's just a regular top line contributor. It's just stuff like that. I just kind of focus in on stuff like that. And then, you know, you focus in on stuff like Thomas Vanek playing really well when he played really shitty for every other team because every other team sucks, but we're awesome. So we'll just go ahead and, you know, Vanek will play better for us. So you just focus in on that stuff. So Vanek has been a big one for me as well, that he's just played super well with us. So that's me.
Yeah, right on. Lauren?
Yeah, I've said it twice already tonight. I'll say it again. watching the kids do their thing, and I do agree about the Vanek thing too. It was one of those signings where I saw the announcement on my phone, and I was just like, "Wait, what? I don't understand."
Yeah.
Like, I just was totally shocked that like I had no idea that kind of player was even on our radar. But to see what he's been doing, to see how he's played with Athanasiou, I mean, they ended up, Athanasiou scored both goals tonight, and then Vanek assisted on both of them. So, like, just watching them play together has been really cool. And, you know, just to hear him say that he likes it here and that he wants to be back, and, you know, to see that in the way he plays for us, where, you know, it is such a stark contrast to how he's played for other teams. Like, that just gives me warm fuzzies in my hockey heart. Like, it just makes me happy.
Yeah, right on. Mike?
I do a lot of thinking back to the glory days just to keep from getting pessimistic. I make, like, little stupid debates in my head, like, who was more essential to, you know, a lot of the Red Wings' success. Was it Yzerman? Was it Lidstrom? Or was it Tomas Holmstrom? And just, you know, try to pick myself apart like that. But just remembering all of the really, really excellent hockey that I got to see growing up, and I'm going to guess most people listening to us got to see at some point in their lives if we don't have too many 10-year-olds listening today. Just looking back on all that stuff, the gold medals, silver medals in international competitions, the Stanley Cups, all of it.
I think to a comment made by Jay Stone in one of our articles this week about how – with the Red Wings, they're not going to be the top team in the draft lottery because they're like 23 points clear of Colorado. And Jay Stone pointed out that, like, even in this, like, awful teeth-clenching, back-biting season, we're still 23 points clear of the Avalanche. Haha, fuck Colorado.
Yeah.
Watching Anthrax Jones suffer through his team being worse is going to keep me warm every night. So, Bird Tire asks, what are your thoughts on the possibility of trading our first-round pick this year?
Fuck that.
Yeah,
the silence
no.
says everything. I don't know, it's
nah.
with draft class. Would you trade your first for a later first and a second? Trade down?
No.
Like we're not
no,
getting
I mean,
a,
if you're going if you're trading into next season, like in next season's draft class, you better be going big. Like you're trading Gustav Nyquist, your first round pick this year, and you're going for like a team like you're basically doing it with a team like who you know is going to be bad next year. So like the Avalanche or the Blue Jackets or someone like that.
Yeah, right on. If the Wings were offered for Vanek, a choice between a second round pick this year or a first round next year, which would you choose?
First next year
for sure.
Easy. Yeah, I made that
first
hopeful that you should be going. Yeah, future picks are best right now.
So what would have to be added to that second round pick to make it
honestly,
to make it work?
If you draft Nolan Patrick this year, then you're not going to play him. So, anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
So to make the second round pick from this year equal to next year's first round pick, what do you think? Like a mid-range prospect, like a third rounder added to it? Like what makes it more palatable to take that second rounder?
You look at a team like Columbus, and I think I've added this in earlier in a post we were talking about trade speculation Corey posted earlier in the season. So if you look at a team like Columbus who wanted to maybe add a player like Vanek or Green or something like that, you take a second round pick this year and then you take like one of their top prospects. Like Gabriel Carlson or even Chicago, you say, hey, we'll take your third or fourth round pick and we'll take Alex DeBrincat. I'd take that a million times. Easy.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Operator G, for that question. Next question, Gravimov Flarkin asks why. Because
why not?
You touch yourself.
That's a really good
question. And then
Gravimov
Flarkin asks, who's the odd man out after this season for the goalies? Crow, Peter, or Howie?
Peter. Apparently. Oh.
I don't know why they're selling so hard on the Red Wings protecting Crow. Weirds me out.
Well, that's the only reason I say that. I'm just being a smartass. It should be Crow because... Well, it should be Howard, but... You know, he's hurt, so it's just not going to happen at this point.
Yeah. I mean, assuming we don't trade anybody. If we trade somebody, we need to try and trade Howie, but that's, like you said,
not
going to happen. So, I mean, yeah, odd man out has to be Kuro. If it's not Kuro, we riot in the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Pappy 96 wants to know, do you think Zetterberg can finish with a strong second half as he has failed to do in the past few seasons? Wait, Zetterberg hasn't been failed to be good in the second half.
Okay, there. Who asked that?
It's Happy Pappy 96.
Yeah.
At any rate, let's
Pappy,
move on to the second part
that.
Of that question.
Yeah.
Capri capture penalty aside, do you want Z to retire after this season or not?
No, I want him to play.
Yeah, he's still... He'll be overpaid for a third liner, but I want him on our third line next year, basically.
Yeah, I mean he's still producing.
Yeah, he's not
you see him every night.
Yeah.
I
think Zetterberg
is
exceeding my expectations this season.
But I don't think that he should play in the power play.
I agree.
At least not prime power play minutes.
The Reddest Swing asks, do you even play, bro? No. I don't want this to be taken as you don't know hockey unless you played the game. Just genuinely curious as to what, if any, types of hockey and at what levels any of you guys have played. Kyle?
I think someone else has asked this in the past. I played peewee hockey, peewee roller hockey, I should say. And then I played hockey for my high school. And then hurt my back, and now I just play drop-in hockey. So nothing big.
Took an arrow to the knee. Mike, did you ever play?
I got into it when I was at college. I organized a couple of intramural leagues when I was at MSU. I played for probably a good 7 or 8 years consistently. Before work and things started getting in the way and, a couple extra concussions later and all that kind of stuff.
Right on. Lauren?
No, not at all. You know the phrase, looking like a giraffe, like a baby giraffe on skates? That's me.
Yeah, we've all watched Erickson.
The last time even had skates on was 3 years ago for the Griffins Great Skate. You know, you get to go meet the players and skate around to them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I fell backwards and hit my face on the ice. Like, that's how
Ouch.
Bad of a skater
Ooh.
I am.
Ow.
So.
Yeah, I played a bit of roller hockey in college. Like, never anything like as... never anything organized. I grew up playing soccer, and so that translated to hockey for me. BK58 wants to know, what are your thoughts on Timothy Liljegren? We've talked about him. We like him.
Yeah.
We think they should draft him.
He's
in
okay.
there. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if he's a number.
Rhode Island Red.
He's a top 5 pick. But...
Rhode Island Red. What Red Wing do you take out to Valentine's dinner and why? You can pick from the coaching staff or management too.
Zetterberg, because he has the most money. I don't know.
You're taking them out, so you have to pay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Jensen, because he has the least money. I don't know.
He'll appreciate
because
he's
short and he'll eat less.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take Jensen because it's taken a long time. So.
All right.
I'll take Jensen.
Mike, Lauren?
I'll defer to Lauren first here.
Okay. I will say Yurko, just because I feel like the poor kid needs, like,
yeah,
a hug or something. I just want to give him a hug.
He needs something.
I just feel so bad for the poor guy, honest to God.
I'm torn because, like, I don't know if I should go Larkin because I wouldn't have to pay for any drinks for him all night. He'd be a cheap date. Or if I should go with Tatar because the guy just looks like he knows how to party. I feel like we'd be, like, out at dinner or something. He'd be like, hey, you want to go to club? I know great party. Let's go.
Well, Larkin can't pay for drinks legally, so.
Yeah.
My answer is
we do not.
Tatar. And that's a hilarious thing because I think Tatar has awful taste, but I want to hang out with him so bad.
Oh yeah.
Baby Larks wants to know: is it possible that our power play is so shitty because they practice against our penalty kill? I love that question.
That's a good question, but no.
Basically, in all seriousness, our PK sits back a lot and doesn't provide a lot of pressure, which that's a good point because other teams do tend to take advantage of our power play because they pressure aggressively. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's more of a system issue.
Theory.
Yeah, I mean the power play and the penalty kill are they actually out there at the same time actually practicing against each other? Because any kind of practice I've been involved, like organized practice that I was involved in, the coaches had us setting up like system-wise for special teams, and we weren't doing PK and power play against each other at the same time. But that's just my experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll call it plausible. A K96 with a real thinker question. If the staff of WIM replaced the Diggers, which WIM member replaces which Digger?
I'm not going to answer that.
That's a very Helene thing to say.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that one. Sorry.
I get to be
as he ties his scarf and walks his dog.
Because I would say I would block a lot of people. I mute a lot of people.
I would replace myself with someone. That's all I'll say.
I think you'd be a good Ted.
You are right.
Oh, yeah.
I would be a great Ted. Kind of dismissive, don't really care, just shitty everywhere. Yeah, no, that's good. I'd be a great Ted. Good answer. I like that.
So what does that make you, Lauren? I don't want to insult you too much. I think you're more like a Brendan Savage. You're a little feisty.
I
read that question earlier and I was trying to think. I would want to do more of kind of like, I don't want to say flowery, but like, and not, it's not like a puff piece thing either, but just more kind of like the, you know, maybe like a long form kind of a thing. And I feel like you almost have to go national media to get that kind of thing. As weird as it sounds, I guess I'd be okay with Savage. Just cause I'd be feisty. Krupa and I could be feisty together on game nights.
Who's our
all caps mad the other night.
And I love that.
Our Krupa would probably be like our Krupa would be you, JJ.
No, he's already
I
on.
I think
star.
You're right. That's sad. No, I want
no,
to be
yeah,
on.
I think
star,
JJ would
yeah,
be Krupa.
I think I'm more of a Krupa.
Krupa is like the resilient fan who covers the team but is honest but at the same time is still a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. JJ is Krupa. But without the bad stuff he says, because Krupa does say some bad.
Yeah, the horribly dumb like Bobby Hull shit. Jeff is our Bill Roos because he doesn't write about the Red Wings anymore either. Xander Fort wants to know about our opinion on two rule changes. If there's a penalty on a breakaway, you get a penalty shot, and if you miss it, you still get 2 minutes for a power play.
Nah.
What do you think?
No.
If you don't score on the penalty shot, then you suck. I don't know what to tell you, dude.
And all games being worth 3 points. You get the 1 point for an overtime or shootout loss, 2 points for an overtime or shootout win, and 3 points for a regulation win.
Nah.
Every year,
I think it's a better way
like
to deal with them.
Look at like what the standings would look like if they. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's a better way than some games being worth more, because I still think that's stupid. But you're going to get people that cry about records being broken and shit like that. It's like, well, records get broken all the time because it's a different era and things change and shit happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
I say bring back the tie unless I am attending the game.
Woof. That's bad.
Very specific rule.
That's avocado on pizza's bad.
I've never had that.
Hey, Larkanikin's Skywalker.
Who does that?
I don't know. Larkanikin Skywalker wants to know, how worried are we that Kid Rock is christening the Pizza Dome?
It's a throne,
right?
Yeah, they're adding more shows, which is ridiculous, but I don't know, whatever. Unless, yeah.
Go enjoy whatever you want. There's going to be so many shitty musical acts at that place. They'll match that.
You're doing a lot of shitty hockey games there, too, so whatever.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want about Kid Rock.
They have plenty of time to air the place out.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want about Kid Rock's music, if you enjoy it, if you don't enjoy it, whatever. But, I mean, I've never been to one of his shows. I've only heard things from the people who go. But, I mean, the people who go have a damn good time. I mean, he puts on a party for Detroit. Yeah? Did you have a damn good time?
Don't remember.
I've never seen a frowning juggalo.
Well, juggalos aren't Kid Rock, but... Yeah.
I know.
Way,
I'm just
like,
saying. I'm just agreeing with your point.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, but I mean, yeah. People are going to have fun.
All right. We have spent way too much time on Kid Rock on this podcast, and it is making me angry.
Aw. Only God knows why. Lark in the next one wants to know, please share your opinions on what happens to these underperforming players. Will they be on the roster opening night of next year? Cronwall, Erickson, Cheyenne, DeKaiser.
Yes.
I think at least three of them will.
Four.
They will all be on.
Yeah, at least three, and the fourth one won't be on because of injury. Take your pick.
Yeah, I don't know what you sell those guys for.
They will all be on
that
team.
Next question is, who's your best guess that we lose in the expansion draft? And that is a podcast for another day. AF41 wants to know, coaches. I'm sure that's supposed to be coaches. Let's see. Basically, how much does Blashill suck? With two elite coaches now available, do we not just call a spade and get on with the Red Wings trend? Legendary coach flop. So basically, fire our new Dave Lewis and see if we can get our next Mike Babcock. Not right now.
We're not going to – I mean, oh, my God. I do think that Blashill – I don't think Blashill is the next coach who is bringing – I don't think Blashill is bringing a Stanley Cup to Detroit. But I don't think that they're just going to fire him. So, no.
And none of the elite coaches currently available are going to come here either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. What Lauren said.
Yeah, not until there's a tangible plan in place.
It's not like Babcock came here. Like when Babcock came here, they had multiple all stars, like franchise players ready to go. It's not like that. It's a completely different time, team.
They saw Robert Lang back then. Rhode Island Red 2 wants to know, how can the Wings possibly improve? I'm sorry, I had to. How can the Wings possibly improve their defense? Stop playing bad players?
Well, Eric's going to be out tonight, so.
That should help.
How could the Red Wings possibly improve their defense? Trade some of their bad players for good defensemen? I don't know. what do you want from me at this point?
Yeah,
that's
more structure,
say,
too,
because
the forwards have been original on their defensive breakdowns.
Yeah, forwards have been bad.
Knock whatever shits between DeKaiser's ears out.
Mm.
I don't know what's going on up there, dude, but, holy shit.
All right, finishing out, last question. Leet Don, probably a sore subject. What do you think old Steven Weiss is up to nowadays? I haven't heard a peep about him since he was bought out. What do you think?
Probably, coaching his kids. Junior Pee Wee. I don't even know if he has a kid. working out.
Yeah.
I don't care. I really don't care.
I've heard rumors that he's basically unofficially retired because nobody wants to sign him, but apparently he didn't want to do a tryout with any teams.
Right.
And so that everybody just passed on him. Off, but he's got enough money. He doesn't have to play if he doesn't want to. If he ever wants back in, then I hope he sucks, honestly. If he signs with another team, that's basically my concept about every player who used to be a Red Wing, with few exceptions. If you're not a Red Wing anymore, fuck you. That's the way it is. Except you, Yuri Hitler. I still miss you.
All right.
So as long as Steve Weiss stays unofficially retired, then cool. If he comes back, fuck him.
Yeah.
Take us out of here.
We have spent more time on Steven Weiss tonight than I actually wanted to. So,
Steven Weiss is the Kid Rock hockey player.
No. Steven Weiss is the... Yeah, he's the Kid Rock. That's a good one. So, any final hockey-related thoughts before we close it out for tonight, folks? All right.
Let's go Red Wings.
That's a stretch of the imagination. All right. So, for JJ, for Lauren, for Mike, and for Jeff and Graham, who aren't here because they're cheering for the Blackhawks and the Bruins. This has been another episode of Wing It Motown Radio. We'll see you next time, hopefully sooner rather than later. I appreciate you listening. And everybody, have a nice night. Stay.
Yep.
Wing
it. See you in court.
Wing it. Shut up.